Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To coast.
I mean, Carver, I don't know the details of the Canadiens' spreadsheet of payment to players, but at some level, when your best player's making $8 million a year, I mean, that sounds to me like you're in a good place. If I only have to pay my best player $8 million a year, something good has to be happening because there's a, you know, what? I mean, there must be 80% of the teams in the league have guys on the payroll way higher than $8 million a year. If he's your best player and you're paying him $8 million, then they're doing it on the cheap up in Montreal.
They're doing it on the cheap. They've been, you know, rebuilding for a few years now. They've got a lot of space. They got to be able to pay some of these young guys that have come through the process, and it leaves them open for if somebody does become available down the road. And by available, I mean huge names that could become available, such as, let's say, what if Matthews does get to unrestricted free agency next summer? What if he does? You know, what if some of those things do happen? They might be one of those teams that's going to have the space to be able to get involved in talks like that up in Montreal. So I think it's very interesting.
If he wants problems in his life, move from Toronto to Montreal and see how that goes for you.
He's got enough. I think he's got enough problems in Toronto as it is. I think that if he ever got to that door and the door was ever open for him where he's like, you know, like Tavares did that year where he gets to go meet with all the teams at the agent's office and everybody pitches him deals.
Right.
I don't think that he would go back to either Toronto or Montreal. I think that he would find himself somewhere here in the States
be
my guess for Matthews. If I had to guess, he's been living that hard life for a while, but it gives them options down the road. That's for sure. And he's a good player, Caulfield, who got that money from Montreal. All right, here we go. Report this morning from Shams Charania that Kyrie Irving has reached out to LeBron about joining him in Dallas to, I guess, form some sort of a big three with Luka Doncic down there. Now, Kyrie, as we know, he's going to be a free agent. So he's not even, as of right now, going to be on the Mavericks next year. There's a lot of moving things around with this. But let's be honest here, Scotty. LeBron's not going to Dallas. I mean, honestly, you really believe that? What is the deal with that coming out today of all days? That there's a report about LeBron and Kyrie talking about Dallas. Makes no sense.
You know, initially, when I think about it, the first thing I think of is that it doesn't matter. Hypothetically, if he went there, they would not win a chip because they have LeBron James playing with Kyrie and Luka. I'm not buying it. The Lakers got as close as they're going to get, in my opinion, with him at his age, 20 years into the league. His body broke down on him at the end of the playoffs, and that's all there is to it. And it's only going to get worse next year, the year after. He's got 2 years left of money coming in, right? And then he'd need a new deal. I don't see that. I say he plays 2 more years. I say he plays in L.A., and he's not going there. And I also say I don't believe for 1 minute the Lakers want Kyrie Irving. I think he stays in Dallas, and they have to figure out another path to glory. And I don't see Glory Road anywhere near in the future for that team with just those two ball hogs. I mean, that's it. I think Luka's a great player. I think Kyrie's a great player. There's no denying their skills. The problem is, I mean, let's face facts. They're both such ball hogs that, I mean, it's like there's no one else even on the team. So I don't believe you can win in the NBA with two ball hogs. I really don't. And two guards. It's just, I don't think you can do it.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for all coast to coast on a Monday. Sirius XM 159 Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. It does seem, though, like they want to play together. But if LeBron's in L.A. and Kyrie wants to go there, why would the story out that he's trying to get him to go to Dallas? The whole thing just makes no sense to me whatsoever, and I'm sure at the end of the day it's about money in some
aspect.
You
know what? I don't...
Money's what it's all about.
Sorry. I don't believe that they actually want to play together again. I think that's all media-driven. I think it's ESPN-driven. I think it's dribble. I think it's the same thing. Let's reunite. Now, if they do it, so be it. You know what? I'll laugh because I don't think it'll work. It worked when they were young. It worked when they were in Cleveland and they were both in their prime. I still believe that Kyrie Irving's got massive game left. The problem is, we already saw that play out in Dallas, didn't we? He went down there and he was lymphoma. Okay, he was cancer. He ruined the team. I mean, honestly, they were better off without him. And then now you're telling me he's going to go play with the Lakers? Like, D'Lo didn't work. I don't think he'll work. He shoots too much. He never pays. All he does is shoot 25 shots a game. And it's like the Kyrie show. Everybody else stands around holding their D. I mean, the bottom line is it doesn't work. And all this talk of them wanting to play together, they've already done it. Been there, done that. Thanks so much. That's like, you know, we saw Melo do it, right? Once. Bye. That was over. I don't see it. I know they want it to happen. I know the whole world wants it to happen. I'm one of the few, I guess. I have no reason or cause for it at all.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing, Carver High, the money that he makes is like somewhere around $50 million, something like that next year. How in God's name would they make that work and not have like the worst team ever? Because, I mean, how do you pay Luka, Kyrie, and LeBron James, and then what, everyone else is homeless and foodless and clothless? I mean, they would be so broke. In terms of how would they pay anyone if they brought him in? I mean, I just don't see it. I think this is an absolute BS story to the umpteenth.
Right. There's a lot of money issues here aside from this. As we know, Kyrie's a free agent. LeBron makes 50. You know, I think that the one thing that Kyrie's probably, like, doing this for is he can get the most money in Dallas if Dallas wanted to bring him back, because he's their own guy and they can pay him, you know, whatever the max is for keeping your own free agent. Whereas he goes out on the open market and he wants to go to a good team. What good team can fit him under their cap as an unrestricted free agent? I mean, I got to admit, I think there's probably not many options out there for him. So unless he gets some kind of sign and trade, the whole thing's bizarre.
I think he's staying.
It's not
going to
happen.
And I think they should. I think it would behoove them to.
Why would they want him?
Figure out the rest of their problems with pieces in that lineup. They don't have anything. Like, I'm so over that team. That team has done nothing with Hardaway and all of them. And you know, they have Bullock. He's trash. They've got to fix the rest of the team. They are such garbage, that Dallas Mavericks. We have to stop acting, because the year before they made it deep in the playoffs, everybody thinks they're supposed to be so good. The only thing I'll say about them is this. They didn't have a lot of time with Kyrie Irving. A couple months, right?
No.
So 2 months doesn't make a sandwich. Let him play the whole season in Dallas. Maybe they get it together and figure it out. But I think they have massive – jigsaw puzzle piece problems with the rest of the lineup, and the answer is not LeBron James. If LeBron James goes there, I will keel over.
I second that notion. I will keel over as well if he actually went there. Julius Randle had arthroscopic knee surgery. He's expected to be ready for the start of camp. Former Portland coach Terry Stotts will be assistant on Adrian Griffin's staff in Milwaukee. I know that you had mentioned that's a nice move. Young coach, first time.
Smart.
Put a guy with some experience next to you on the bench in your first gig. So that's a smart move by Griffin in Milwaukee. And Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Anthony Edwards, Austin Reeves, and several others will play for Team USA at the FIBA World Cup, which is this summer. Only thing I'll say to you on that is Brunson could barely walk by the end of that playoff for the Knicks. I'm all for guys who want to play for Team USA, but at some point, if you got injury problems at the end of the season, I don't know. I think that sometimes you got to think about that.
And
he seems like the kind of guy... Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
He just seems like the kind of guy that, with that many injuries he took, maybe he should, you know, lay low until camp in October. You know, that just seems like with the year that he had.
Without a doubt. Now, I just can't get this out of my head, this LeBron thing. I have to say one last thing. So,
yes.
When you're LeBron James, and right now he's on the precipice of, I believe, being one of the greatest Lakers of all time. Now, I don't think he's earned that yet. He won one crown, and I'll give you, it was a championship. We have to stop treating it like it was a boy in a bubble, okay? They were all in the same boat. All the teams that made the playoffs were in the same boat, and they all played, and the Lakers won the chip. That's it. He won a chip with the Lakers. That's all there is to it. So he's already one of the best Lakers, but he could really entrench himself, in my view, if he just stays where he is, plays two more years, and makes another run with that team and does what he does with AD and they do their thing. I see no reason in the world for that guy to leave Los Angeles for any reason. With all of his production company, movies, TV, podcast, everything that he does, business, sponsors, ownership, money, everything is Hollywood, everything. What is Dallas besides a tax break? Okay, when you make $50 million a year, let me tell you something about who gives a rat's ass about 13% when you make $50 million. Okay, like you pay 20% on your dinner tab every night out at Morton's, right? Now all of a sudden you're worried about 13% when you're a billionaire? No one that's a billionaire cares about 13%. Oh, here, if that were true, then every billionaire in the world would live in Texas or in Florida. People are always trying to, these sports guys come on my show all the time for years trying to tell me about tax breaks. People can't pay taxes until you're in a casket, okay? So it doesn't matter where you are. You want to play for the Lakers or do you want to play for the Dallas Mavericks? That's like having a fat girlfriend. Thanks so much. Bye. I'm playing for the Lakers. See ya. I think that covers the end of it right there, the end of the whole thing, like circling it. I wanted to get the other side of the, you know, the back wheel I missed.
Yeah, I think you got it all covered at this point on the LeBron talk. He's not going to go
anywhere.
Thanks so much. He's staying in Los Angeles. How about we do have game two of the Stanley Cup final tonight.
Everybody
loves hockey. Hockey. Let's start it now, and then later on we'll finish it. Vegas did beat Florida in game one on Saturday night, 5-2.
Shame.
They now lead the series, of course, 1-0. It was a shame. In fact, it was a 2-2 game about midway through the third period, and then Vegas ahead for good with Zach Whitecloud on TNT.
Eichel, Barbashev cutting to the net. Eichel, across, Barbashev, stopped by Bobrovsky.
I think Duclair got a piece of that puck.
So anyway, here's the deal. A, I had the Panthers at +118, loss. B, my buddy in Vegas to me said today, because, you know, I lived in Vegas twice. I'm in Vegas a lot. I'm always in Vegas. And Carver High and I, Mafia, love Vegas. We've been there 5 million times, the three of us. And we literally know our way around. Okay, we know our way around Sin City. Believe me, Carver High knows how to go to Carver's Steak for a thick one. All I know is this. So my buddy calls me and says, yeah, like, the Knights of your second favorite team, right? He goes, I know you're like a Penguin guy, but like you're on the Knights, right? Like you, that's your team. I mean, you're a Vegas guy. I go, yeah, whatever, dude. Whatever you say. Like, cause I'm not a Vegas Golden Knights fan. I'm just not. So it is what it is. I won't deny that the way they played in the third is why I'm betting on them again tonight, because I bet on the Panthers. I'm betting on them again in that I think they're going to win again at home. I thought they dominated the last 20 minutes. Like, you're 2-2 on the road. You score and tie it, Mike. You got to win the game. You got them right where you want them. Yep. And then you lay down and die. I don't know who was worse, the Nuggets fourth quarter or the Panthers third period.
Really bad performance by them, especially over the last 10 minutes. Not getting it done, that's for sure. I'll save Paul Maurice for later because, honestly, we don't have enough time. It's too good. One of the better post-game. he was too good. We're going to have to hold on to Maurice for later because he basically just tells everybody to calm the hell down. It's one game, and that's great. So we'll do Maurice later. The odds for tonight, the series odds, et cetera, et cetera. We also have a lot of baseball, and you're going to talk to Davis about the baseball as well when we come back. So a lot
Didn't
more.
Didn't you
do.
Think that when they tied the game that they were going to like go to overtime or,
yes.
or have a shot to win it? Like, did you expect them
yes.
to get bent over like that?
No, I didn't. I did not. And look, that was a weird goal that made it 3-2, kind of kicked out to the point. Then you had the one that Stone tipped in. Maybe was too high, maybe wasn't. It was a really fast review. I think Florida wins tonight. I think Florida gets it to 1-1. I think it's going to be even better.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
So you got to get in on the BetMGM bonus bet promotion. BetMGM players are going to receive a bonus bet to use on any sport. The bonus bets will be given to players on Wednesdays and Saturdays upon logging into your account. That's all you have to do. Log in on Wednesday, get a bonus bet. Log in on Saturday, wash, rinse, repeat, get a bonus bet. And it's simple. Log on to the BetMGM app or website. After login, you're going to automatically receive a bonus bet, and it can be used on any sports wager. This is like the other thing. They're giving away $1,000 when you lose, and now they're just giving it away on Wednesdays and Saturdays if you like wake up and sign into your account and you got a free bet right there. It's like, I mean, the guy had to be smoking bones or something that came up with these ideas, because he's just giving money away. And if I owned a company, I'd be like, who's the guy that gave away all the money? Find that guy, bring him to me, and I'm going to fire him because he's just giving away my money, and I want to kill him. And then that's the way it would go if I was in charge. But somehow this guy's getting away with it, just giving away money. It's unbelievable. Davis Maddock is our regular every day talking baseball on C2C. You can catch him on Fantasy Sports Today as well on Saturdays at 8 with Scoop Mish. He really loves doing C2C, though. He's making all kinds of money for everybody. It's just a great thing. He's getting a lot of chicks out of it. It's just a lot of fans, fandom, beer, tattoos. I mean, smoke, the whole deal. All right, let's start with this. If the Pirates win again and make it 6 in a row, because they won the last 2 in San Francisco and they won 3 against St. Louis, it was impressive, you have to admit. Particularly Saturday when they were down 5-0 and they came back and won that game 7-5. Then they win again on Sunday, whatever, 2-1. If they win against the A's tonight and catch Milwaukee, let's say they were to catch their half game out. Let's say they pass them because they were in first for a while. Then they got passed. Now they fought their way back well over 500 again, 3 or 4 games. If they catch them again, can the Pirates keep first place through the month?
Well, I mean, I would be kind of surprised if they don't tie together a 9-game winning streak here, because what is the team that they get to face? who's coming to town. It's not the Yankees. It's not the Dodgers. It's not the Rays. It's the Oakland Athletics and their pathetic season. I mean, this version of the Oakland Athletics is going to set every record that you don't want a team to set, right? It's going to be fewest runs ever scored, fewest wins, highest team ERA. I mean, the whole team, honestly, I mean, can you imagine being an Oakland Athletics player and showing up to work every single day, just knowing you're going in to get your butt kicked? I mean, just feels like, and you know you're not going to be there. You got to go to that. I mean, I guess this is a road game, but you got to go to that dumpy stadium, you know, 3-4 times a week. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever, Scott, I don't know if you've been there, that stadium.
Oh, I've been there 100,000 times.
Dump.
It's an ashtray.
It is literally an ashtray. It's an absolute dump. So I'll give them to the end of the month. Sure. 9-game winning streak. I'll give them to the end of the month. Yeah. Why not? I mean, because I don't think the Brewers get to play the Athletics, or maybe they already have. I want to say maybe they already have. So yeah, we'll give, and I'm on the Pirates fan. I like the Pirates.
All right. Let's move to this now. What did you think of the Yankees? I bet them on Saturday with Cole, and he didn't even pitch great, but they won. And then I bet them on Sunday, and they stole that game. I had them at plus +130, right? Did they win that game Saturday, and they end up losing that game? They won.
They won both games, and you're right.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Cole kind of stunk. I mean, he only had 5 strikeouts and 6 innings pitch. I had him in fantasy that day, and I bet on them that day. This Michael Grove guy gave them a hard time. This Michael Grove guy struck out 7 guys in 4 innings pitch. He just gave up a couple homers, so he got knocked out of there. I mean, that'll happen, but pretty big for the Yankees to hold serve against the Dodgers, because they're still really slipping down in that division. I mean, that division is so good, but they're I guess they're just barely back of the Baltimore Orioles now.
Yeah, well, they're 6 out, and but they won the series. And I thought what was impressive was Cabrera with the little knocker off the plate, and they got in Rizzo to make it 2-1, and then Volpe hits a 2-run homer, and they win 4-1. And they were plus +130 at the beginning of the day, plus +152 when it went off. That was a lot of money to give away for the Yankees winning. I bet on them and made some nice money. I thought it was a huge series for them, without a doubt, going to Chavez Ravine and getting that done. I don't know about you. So what do you think of what Tampa's doing as they go into this final game of this series in Fenway? Right now, scoreless, but they're going for 3 of 4 in Boston.
I mean, they're so much better than Boston, right? I mean, like, at every position, I feel like they're better. The Red Sox having a winning record to me honestly seems insane, because I look at the Red Sox and I'm like, look, we got Robert Refsnyder, you know, leading off, batting third sometimes. Justin Turner is like, you know, 47 years old. Rafael Devers has been really good, and Masataka Yoshida has been incredible. I mean, he started out the season so bad, but the rest of their team, I'm like, they don't really have any guys outside of Devers and Yoshida who I think are really, you know, above average major league pitchers. And then some of these guys they have starting. Now, Paxton was pretty good. We talked about Paxton last week, but Sale and Paxton have been good. But the rest of their rotation, Houck and Cutter Crawford and Garrett Whitlock, I mean, these guys are retreads of retreads. So, I mean, it's really not surprising to see the Rays beating up on them.
So I know that I want to get your plays for tonight. And I know one of them is Texas against the Cardinals after they got swept in Pittsburgh. Now they're in Globe Life down in Arlington facing a team that's won 3 in a row, 8 of 10. It just seems like every week we're talking about the Texas Rangers mounting another uprising, and they just keep going up. They keep winning. Now it's 3.5 their lead. I think on Friday it was 2.
Yeah, they keep winning. And I mean, people, like, look at the line for this game they're about to talk about. No one really believes it. You know, they're Martin Perez taking the mound against Adam Wainwright. I mean, it's not exactly, I don't think we're expecting a pitcher's duel. The total is 10 in that game. But it just seems like no one really believes in the Texas Rangers. I mean, they are first in baseball in run differential, generally pretty good prognosticator of if you're going to continue to be good. They're getting this unbelievable season out of Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, he has been unreal for them. John Gray has been really good. Heaney has been really good. Theoretically, right? Theoretically, they're going to get Jacob DeGrom back at some point. They've been awesome. And I'm still not really buying the Cardinals.
So you are betting on them tonight. You've got a couple bets. One of them is to win at -135. The other one you have is Corey Seager. What's that one?
Yeah, I mean, pretty simple. I just think this Rangers money line is wrong. I mean, I think they should be like -150, 160, something like that. Right. I think the Rangers are just a much better team. And then also I thought the corresponding Corey Seager over 0.5 runs, -120, just feels like the best hitter who bats second for a team in a game where the total sent actually in the total even rose up from what it was this morning. It actually opened at 9. Okay, I wonder if the roof is open there in Globe Life Ballpark down there in Arlington. We might get a little bit of hot, sweaty Texas sun down there, but we've got the over on Corey Seager runs scored.
And then you have Oviedo at the Pirates throwing more than 5.5 strikeouts against the lowly A's. That's probably a good bet, too.
Yep, I got your guy in there. I mean, he's just been a lot better his most recent three starts. He's had over 5 strikeouts in all of those, but he's also gone deeper into all those games. They finally, for the first time this season, let him get deeper than 95 pitches. And you know what? Pretty easy to get over 95 pitches when you're going up against the Oakland Athletics and they're coming up to the plate with toothpicks instead of bats. I, again, just thought this line was pretty off. I think he should be able to get through the order twice. And, you know, I mean, look, Carlos Perez, Seth Brown, Jonah Brown, this lineup, man. I can't believe the Oakland A's are allowed to play. This is so bad.
Aren't you nervous laying a 1.5 with the Padres against the Cubs? If the Cubs win that game tonight against Snell, they win 3 of 4 in a series. I bet on the Cubs yesterday, and they kicked their ass 7-1, and that paid me money. And now Jimi Hendrix is going against Snell tonight. Why do you think the Padres, who can't even win a game, can win by 2 runs?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I am a little nervous on this one, but Kyle Hendrix is probably, he's probably one of my favorite guys to bet against in baseball. Now, 2020, the year he was absolutely ridiculous, and he was pretty good in 2021 as well. But the last 2 years, betting against him when he basically the thing is, Kyle Hendricks used to get like every edge of the strike zone call. He had like the best control in baseball, and now he's completely lost that. He walks guys, his strike swinging way down. So he's a guy who could barely throw 90 before. Now he's not getting those easy strike calls. I'm sure I'm gonna lose this bet. Just feels like Juan Soto up to end the game. Juan Soto's gonna be up there, bat in hand to end the game, and he's gonna strike out looking. I can already see it coming down the pipeline, Scotty.
Well, I had a Marley yesterday, the worst one ever. I had Arizona up 5-4 in the ninth and 2 outs, and Rosario, who was 0-for-4 in a game, hit a grand slam to Marley me and beat me on that. I got to let you go. I will say another one I had my eye on was Houston tonight over Manoah. He's been trash for Toronto all season. I like the Astros.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So just real quick, Davis's plays are Padres -1.5, Rangers -135, Corey Seager over 0.5 runs. So if he scores a run at -120, and Johan Oviedo over 5.5 Ks at even money. So those were his plays for tonight. It's time to hook up with our boy, famous Seamus McGee, a legend on Coast to Coast. He's back again from BetMGM to talk about the Hizzy. First of all, we were just talking about TCU and how great their athletic program has become. Football, baseball, basketball, and then the girls' volleyball team was just playing for a national championship in the sand. And I'm like, what is happening here? I'm watching this team right now taking on Arkansas. They're losing, but they're in the NCAA tournament. And I mean, I'm like thinking to myself, what aren't they in? They're in everything. What a powerhouse they've become. You were saying you got some trader there. What is the story?
We have a trader. My guy, Matt, he went to Rider University here in New Jersey. But before 2 years ago, tournament for March Madness, he was like, I need a squad because Rider's not in it. And he really liked the nickname Horn Frogs. So he's gone full in, all in TCU. He was all over the football team with futures last year. He's all over the basketball team. He's got TCU baseball futures this year. He's getting quite the ride out of all of them, to be fair.
I mean, honestly, they really have become something special when you think about it. All right, so we want to talk about everything going on at BetMGM. I want to start with this. I saw that you guys took almost 80% of the money line bets on the Heat to win at plus 280. What kind of a hit was that for you guys?
Yeah, it was brutal. It was a bad game for us on the pre-live and in-game. I mean, we got hit every which way with the Heat. So not a good result for us last night.
Wow. So the bettors had a big day against you guys with the Miami Heat. What was the in-game betting like during the second half with the Nuggets looking like they were going to take control at the end of the third, had a big lead, then the Heat take over the game in the fourth. The Nuggets claw back, have a chance to tie to send it to overtime, but fail. What was the in-game betting like at BetMGM during that late game?
So it's always interesting in the playoffs when these teams get out in front in the second half to a big lead, then you get the second half comeback. I think people are starting to figure out the Heat in the second half a little bit, kind of taking a shot with them if they're down in the fourth. And we were seeing money come a little bit of both ways when the Nuggets were going on that run and when the Heat started coming back. But, you know, you could have got a really good price on the Heat in the second half on the money line. And that ended up doing us in, on top of everything we had before the game.
So Joker had the, you know, another big night, but they lost. So this guy's filling up the stat sheet, killed you on player props, I guess is, or is Michael Porter Jr.'s horrible shooting helping even things out for you guys?
I wish I could say he is helping us out, but even with the action we're taking on Porter Jr., it's everyone's all over Jokic props every which way. I mean, the triple-double not hitting last night was nice. It got some of it back, but you know, when he goes for 40, it's a you got the points. You got the points plus rebounds and assists, and you know, it really adds up. So he's killing us right now.
So Joker was clearly the favorite for MVP and has taken in half of the money. But who are people putting money on for the trophy in case he doesn't win it? Who are they putting it on? Is it Butler? Is it the same, usual suspects?
It is. It's Butler now that they took that game, especially. And if you want someone on the Nuggets that's not Jokic, it's Murray. It's one way traffic on Murray if it's not Jokic.
So, what happened with his props when he averages 32 in the playoffs, 26 in game one, and drops all the way down to 18? That's like losing your shoes.
Yeah, it's playoff basketball with player props is so funny. I mean, you can't throw out an entire regular season body of work just for a handful of games a guy plays in spring. But you're seeing athletes all over media say this now. It's a different game in the playoffs. Guys have it, some guys don't, and it's showing up on a nightly basis. So it's becoming a tricky thing to bet and to price up these player props.
What are the odds shifting now, like as they go to Miami for games 3 and 4? What has changed for you? Obviously, it's no longer 8.5, 9, 8, and it's not 216 and a hook. I saw earlier it was 2.5 and 214.
Yeah, so the series has gone down to Nuggets minus 275, and we're gonna need the Heat still. It's still a lot of Nuggets money coming in. Frankly, it's the number got down to minus 275, and we're seeing a lot more Nuggets money coming in. It's a bit of a cheaper price than people would have liked to have at the start of the series. And we're seeing some exact score money come in, too. I saw a few decent Nuggets to win 4-2 props rolling in today.
You saw a lot of people betting on the Nuggets to still win it 4-2 in six games. What is your feeling about the series as it goes to Miami after what you saw last night and what you saw Thursday night?
I think the Heat can still take another game. I mean, this is, I feel like this is a team that everyone's been underestimating for most of this postseason. I could see them splitting. I could see the Nuggets getting to game six with a 3-2 lead, but I think it's going to be hard to close them out in Miami. So I wouldn't be shocked if this goes seven at all. I think it's going to be much closer.
Do you think there's any chance at all that Miami could win both of those games, 3 and 4?
I mean, there's always a chance. We only got a 2.5-point spread here in the NBA Finals. That's one shot right there. The Heat showed all year. I mean, they just get hot from three, let alone at home. They could really, I mean, they could make this a real problem for the Nuggets. Certainly, I could easily see them winning games 3 and 4. Maybe not easily, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
So let's talk about hockey for a second. A lot of people were on the Knights to win the game. They were down 1-0. Did you see a lot of people pouncing on the Knights at that point? And then when it was 2-2 after two, what was the money like then?
Yeah, so the Vegas bettors are really showing up for this series. Knights in game one was a bad result for us. And in play, you saw that number get up there too, and people got all over that, especially in Nevada. So right now, you know, the Knights winning this series is still a win for us, but it's a much smaller win than what it would be if the Panthers won. And tonight's no exception. We took a big bet out in Vegas on the Knights tonight, so we're going to need Florida.
So you need Florida tonight, and Vegas, were you surprised at where you put the number at for this game? That number was relatively short, wasn't it?
I think it's this Panthers team. I mean, they've proved all postseason long. They don't have a problem playing on the road. They'll go up to the Boston Garden, take a game seven. They'll go into Toronto and beat the crap out of them. So I don't think this is a team that's pretty shy of them at the moment, especially when you got guys like Tkachuk who seem like they're just built for this, for the postseason.
But, I mean, they got steamrolled in the third. So is a lot of the money – you said you took a big bet on it. Is a lot of the other money coming in on them as well tonight to go up too?
So that big bet was placed in Vegas at one of our retail shops. If you look at our online, bigger countrywide view, it is a decent amount of money coming in on Florida, up almost 50-50, but we'll see at what time puck drop comes around.
Who are the bettors putting their money on for the Conn Smythe?
So it's the main worries right now are the two Panthers players, Bobrovsky and Tkachuk. I mean, every game they play, it seems like they're getting the spotlight, and deservedly so. And if it's not anyone on the Panthers, it's Jack Eichel. He seems to be the runaway favorite on the Knights right now. So those are the three that come to mind for people putting their money on the Conn Smythe.
Are there any other, like, player props for tonight that you're seeing stand out above the others that people are pouncing on right now going into game two in Vegas?
This year in particular, the prop shots on goal has been around for a few years, but it's gotten a lot of notice this year, especially if you have a team like a game involving the Panthers this year where there's just tons of shots in those games. So people are starting to take notice of those props, and we're starting to see some money come in on shots on goal.
Victor Hovland was plus 2,000, but also the most bet player to win at the Memorial, and he did win. How big of a hit was that for you guys?
Brutal. Golf was tough this week. Hovland, as high as he was, that was not a good result for us. So we were a loser on the outright this weekend.
How was the controversial decision in the main event of the UFC Fight Night at the Apex? What did that do to you guys?
Hang me out to dry here, Scott. It was a brutal weekend for us, especially that UFC fight. I mean, we were just as mad as some of the MMA watchers watching that decision get called. So not a good night in the octagon either.
Well, Famous, let's be real here. You guys have plenty of great weeks and plenty of great weekends.
We were even on the college baseball, we were taking some lumps on some games with the SEC. I mean, we were due for one of these, given how great the postseason is for hockey and basketball.
I mean, you guys are raking money, and then all of a sudden you have a bad weekend, and it's the end of the world. I don't think so. I think you'll be fine. What is the betting like on teams like the A's that have been so awful, as we see Miami constantly covering the 1.5 against them, even though they were down like 5-3 in that game, they won 7-5. Now they're playing the Pirates. What kind of money are you seeing on a regular basis of people that are latching on to the fact that they are as bad as they are?
It's an interesting divide on teams like that, because I will take sharp money on teams like Oakland and Kansas City every day. The number gets too high for a lot of these good bettors. And, you know, the average Joe, they'll lay the run line against these teams. I mean, these records are insane for some of these poor teams. So I can't say that people are too shy to bet against, you know, Oakland and Kansas City.
Are you surprised at, like, the Pirates, what they've been doing and sweeping the Cardinals and taking the last two from the Giants? Are people betting on them at all, or are they still, like, an ingrate in baseball and no one bets on them?
No, I mean, we've been taking some decent money coming in on Pirates futures, whether it's the division, whether it's to make the playoffs, the pennant, you name it. I like this Pirates team. You can only wonder where they'd be if they had a healthy O'Neill Cruz, honestly. I like the way they play. They're hitting the ball hard. They're missing some bats. But we'll see if they can keep it up throughout the rest of the season.
So many teams. There's only one team that's won 8 of 10. The rest of the teams are either 6-4-10 or 4-6-10. The highest win streak besides is the Pirates at 5 in a row. You just don't see a lot of teams having 4, 5, 6 game winning streaks. There's so much parity. Is that an advantage for you guys that the teams are so similar?
I mean, particularly when you look at both central divisions. I mean, does anyone want to win either of those? It's nuts. So, yeah, I mean, the baseball results have been pretty good for us so far with all this parity. I mean, minus the two outcasts and the Rays being juggernauts for as how long they've been. They might be coming down to earth soon, but yeah.
It's hard to bet baseball right now. It really is. Good to see you, Famous. We'll see you next week, buddy, my man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another exciting edition of Today in Carver High History.
It certainly is. We'll start in 1952 today in the first sporting event televised nationally. Jersey Joe Walcott beats Ezra Charles in 15 rounds for the heavyweight championship of the world. In 1977, the Portland Trailblazers beat the Sixers in 6 to win the NBA championship for the first time. Here we go.
There's McGinnis. Lucas comes out. McGinnis for the tie. It's off. It's over. It's over. Portland has won the championship. 109-107. They've gone wild in Portland. The Portland Trailblazers, their first year in the NBA playoffs. The baskets are down.
Big Red with a 20-23 double Carver High.
Bill Walton getting involved. 82, Martina Navratilova beats Andrea Jaeger in straight sets for her first French Open singles crown. 83, Yannick Noah wins his first and only career Grand Slam title by beating defending champ Mats Wildener. Straight sets for the French. 86, Padres pitcher Steve Garvey ejected for the first time in his 16-year career for arguing about Atlanta's triple play. How about that? 87, Dwight Gooden returns from drug rehab to get a win for the Mets. The 1989 on this day, the Blue Jays opened up the Sky Dome for the first time this day in 89. 93, Steffi Graf wins the third of her six French Open titles. 2005, Nadal won his first French Open titles. He won about a billion after that. And 11, Nadal won. 16, the Joker won. Nadal won again 1 year ago today when he beat the immortal Casper Ruud in straight sets. 14 French Open titles for Rafa. How about that?
I think your boy Ruud is still in it, and I can't believe you pulled out the Yannick Noah over Beadle. Awesome.